You know what a great addition to the Itchy and Scratchy show would be? Itchy and Scratchy and Hero Jiminy.
Seems like it should be more obvious as we age that some things are going to get a lot better with that age. Some things aren't going to hold up quite as well as we thought they would. And today's episode is about me finding that out. Both directions, about both things being good, better, that is, or worse, as they age. So, that's going to come up really early on in the episode, so I won't get into it too much. But it just seems like you should know better about things you've seen a million times that there's either more that meets the eye or it's really not as great as it seems. One I will mention real quick as an example, because it didn't come up in the podcast, that movie Empire Records, if you haven't seen it, go see it. It holds up, but in a different way than you'd expect. When we were kids, we're like, man, look at these cool older teenager kids that are just like badass and being weird and stuff. And I kind of like looked up to them a little bit. And now I go back and I look at it and the characters are so dumb, but the zaniness and the whimsy of just how outlandish that movie is still makes it great. It's just different reasons it's great. And Itchy and Scratchy and Poochie, it's going to go one way on that scale. I won't say what. You got to tune into the pod, stick with us a little longer. So that's the episode we watched, Season 8, Episode 14. Itchy and Scratchy and Poochie, ranked number 15 on the Simpsons Best of Countdown, as curated by myself and Steph, our other host. So who am I? I'm Josh. I'm the host of this bad boy. And this bad boy, we call it Still Life with Simpsons.
You want a realistic, down-to-earth show that's completely off the wall and swarming with magic robots.
Yeah.
Good.
And also, you should win things by watching.
Yeah, for anybody just tuning in, I'm going to recommend you go back an episode. Go back an episode to the last one, because that was pretty phenomenal.
Yeah, that one was good.
It was a good time. This is a podcast in which we review past podcasts that have been podcasted by this podcast.
Of our own podcast.
Yeah,
mostly.
There was some,
sometimes we talk about my brother, and me.
Yeah. There were some great zingers in the last episode, regarding Sex and the City, and
there's a lot of great stuff about baseball.
A lot of great jokes about Mike Socha, a baseball player no one remembers.
Especially me.
Anyway, this is welcome to the next episode. We're moving on from that one. Sorry, you can only see half my face. I'm too lazy to move my microphone to the other side of a stand that's in the way.
Our listeners are grateful they can't see any of your face.
They can probably hear it in your voice, though.
How
it's ruining the show.
Ugly your face is.
Exactly. Can I use the release of Star Wars The Force Awakens on Blu-ray and DVD and iTunes media as an excuse to talk about Star Wars?
Yes.
Okay,
good. Excuse. Any excuse.
So, I think mostly because I wouldn't shut up about how excited I was to watch The Force Awakens again.
Mm-hmm.
I talked to my girlfriend. It's 2016. We refer to each other as partners. Talked to my partner into watching Star Wars, she's never seen Star Wars. She claims, I've never really just seen like the whole thing and just sat through it.
I think she's trying to front. I think she doesn't want us to know that she hasn't seen it, which I don't understand. It's cool. She's not the pop culture trivia nerd of the relationship, and that's fine. She needs to be okay with
that.
We
all have our own cross to bear, is what Mrs. D taught me in the 7th grade religion class.
It's not a cross, though. You need that balance. Have you ever met a couple that both of them are just, like, super into nerd fandom?
Oh, for sure.
Oh, it's the worst.
It depends. It's complicated.
So anyway, I think because I want to shut up about The Force Awakens and how much I love BB-8, we sat down and we've been watching...
I love BB-8.
God damn it, I do love BB-8. But we watched the original... We've watched most of the original trilogy. We're halfway through nice. Return of the Jedi.
Nice.
And I would suggest if you can find somebody who is in their 20s or 30s and has not seen Star Wars yet, that you sit down and watch Star Wars with them.
I'm going to start asking
people. It's a whole new experience.
People.
Yeah, find somebody and do it.
There's got to be... Somebody was telling me they hadn't.
This is my new pro tip, life hack, whatever you want to call it. Find a friend who hasn't seen Star Wars. Watch Star Wars with them.
That's why you have kids.
No, this is, but it's different than watching it with kids, too.
Okay.
Because you, like, I don't think we ever watch it through an adult lens. We're still watching it through our rose-colored nostalgia glasses when we watch Star Wars. So, I mean, we're loving it. But there's like things that are making sense to me for the first time that I always just glossed over. Like, oh, this is just happening. What's an example? There's a lot going on, like in Cloud City. And,
I love Cloud City.
Darth Vader's.
It's one of my favorite plans. Parts.
Like, I didn't not understand it, but I just never really paid attention to the fact that the reason Darth Vader's freezing Han Solo in carbonite. Is because that's how he's planning to trap Luke and get him to the Emperor. I don't know why he couldn't just use, like, space handcuffs. I don't know. It just never occurred to me that that's his interest in freezing Han Solo until this time.
I guess I never thought about it much either.
Yeah, you're just like, I don't know. There's cool outer space stuff going on.
Yeah, you don't think a lot about it because you've seen it so many times.
Yeah, so I'm, like, really actively watching Star Wars for the first time. And, ooh, here's a really crazy one. So, in Empire Strikes Back still, Han and Leia and Chewie's timeline in that movie, once they escape Hoth, logistically would all be happening from when they leave Hoth to when they go to Bespin Cloud City.
Okay.
It seems like probably in a day or two.
Okay.
So they just land on an asteroid. They try to fix the Millennium Falcon a little bit. Monster comes out. They're still, like, running from the Empire. I doubt the Empire was just hanging out in an asteroid field for months at a time looking for them.
Right.
Then they get away, and they decide to go to Cloud City. Boba Fett follows them. Okay, we've seen it. We know what happens. But Luke has been going through his Jedi training with Yoda simultaneously. Right? He's on Dagobah training with Yoda for the
first
time.
Doesn't it seem like Luke's on Dagobah forever?
Exactly. So Luke...
That always confused me.
...is presumably on Dagobah for months, maybe even years, doing his Jedi training. So I pointed this out to my partner, who's seen it for the first time, who also just saw Interstellar with me.
Oh, love Interstellar.
So I was like, what's the deal? Their timeline's like a day, and his is like a year or two. And she's just like, relativity, dude. What?
Oh, my gosh. Okay, this is why you do... Okay, I get it. And that's why you show it to other adults.
Right? Isn't that the
like,
craziest
obviously,
shit?
Obviously, I would have never... that makes so much sense now. And that's why Yoda can live for 800 years.
Maybe. I
don't know.
I don't know.
Who knows?
It was a fantastic theory. Kind of... One more Star Wars rant because I'm just learning so much.
I have to interrupt you, and we have to talk about how you finally took a new step in your relationship and now talk about it on a podcast.
It's the context of the story. I couldn't tell these stories without acknowledging that. I couldn't just say, hey, I just found a stranger who was willing to watch Star Wars with me.
As your sister, I have to tease you about these things.
Fair enough.
And it's funny.
Other important, one more Star Wars rant. And then, again, this is all okay. The Force Awakens just came out on Blu-ray and DVD. Thank you for the money, Disney. I will continue telling people to go get it. If you'll give me more, I'm loving those ducats. So, now that The Force Awakens is out, here's a cool one. When Leia strangles Jabba the Hutt, it's a massive shift for women in the Star Wars universe. Suddenly, women exist. Up until this point, there's been not a single other woman in the universe. In the entire galaxy, there's not been another woman until about 20 minutes before Leia strangles Jabba, when one of his other slaves gets sent down to the Rancor pit, who happens to be a woman. That's the only other woman that happens in the galaxy.
No, I think they show his aunt. They show Luke's aunt.
Oh, Aunt Beru. Sorry, there's Aunt Beru. One other woman exists in the galaxy. Up until that point. She strangles Jabba. Two or three scenes later, we meet the head of the rebellion, Mon Mothma, happens to be a woman.
Gosh, you know everything about Star Wars.
And Leia saves them on Endor when she pretends to be injured and blasts a stormtrooper. We find out shortly after that she's the only other potential Jedi left in the galaxy from Yoda before he dies. Then we have The Force Awakens with Rey, who is the most badass Jedi and the main character.
I love Rey.
This is what you learn when you rewatch Star Wars with an adult who's never seen Star Wars.
This is fantastic. These just, are good illuminations.
I know this is a Simpsons podcast, but that was just too exciting not to share.
And
nerds are nerds. It doesn't matter what show you're supposed to be talking about.
To hear Stephen Hawking's doing some crazy star something or other.
Is it a war? Because if not, I don't care.
I don't know. All my science blogs were blowing up today about Stephen Hawking announcing something about his new plan, and it's called like star gaming or something crazy like that. And they're gonna send nanopods out to star out of star systems with cameras and find out what's out there. It had a really cool name.
I like star gaming.
That's
I like
I
star gaming. It's like a prequel to Star Wars. It's like Star Wars for kids.
Yeah. Well, this is how it begins.
The nanobots. They're like, the nanobots are the first step to the dispute between the Trade Federation.
Basically,
that caused all these Star Wars.
That's how it begins.
Once we're trading our nanobots, we're going to be form a Trade Federation
like,
that's going to dispute
them. They didn't like that they had cameras on them and their privacy was compromised. Those creepy humans are watching me undress again.
It's buried somewhere in the Panama Papers that the nanobots of the star game.
I like how this conversation won't make sense in 10 years.
Nope. At least the Star Wars part, there's gonna be theses written on that. Thesi. But if they haven't already.
Everybody's going to forget what Panama Papers are, whatever it is I just said about Stephen Hawking.
But this is a Simpsons podcast. Let's get into that. Today we had not only Itchy, not just Scratchy, but the man, my main man, Poochie.
Poochie.
I got a full disclosure. This episode got a bump because Jack wasn't available for a few episodes, and he's still not available, but I just could not justify putting this episode up any higher.
It's true.
Because Jack is Poochie.
He is Poochie.
But, like, that's really all there is to say about it.
I mean, that's really, like, the main thing that I find so funny about it is when we go on vacation and my husband suddenly wears a ball cap and sunglasses at the same time, he looks just like Poochie.
And he's got baggy shorts. He doesn't wear normal shorts.
He wears cool, you know, button-up shirt that is short sleeves.
That's great and all, but
Jack is definitely 10% Rasta.
That was something I hadn't caught before.
What
does it make him 10% Rastafari?
They're trying to decide. All the executive heads are trying to decide the most appealing character. And they rattle off a couple things. He's got to be a surfer, and he's got to have a lot of attitude. That kept coming up. A lot of attitude. 10% Rastafari.
Before we dive too much into the character of Poochie, I want to go over the episode, not go through the episode, but talk about the episode in general. So it was season 8, episode 14, Itchy and Scratchy and Poochie, rank 15. What do you think about that?
For my love of Poochie, it is well placed.
I think,
but as a whole, the episode is kind of lame.
Yeah. I think we really let our love of Poochie blind us on this one.
I'm okay with that.
Poochie, the character, like, sucks, even in the parody context that he's being used. It's a pretty, I don't know, I just didn't enjoy the device very much. We're projecting a lot of our personal experience onto Poochie.
Can we talk about how proactive he is?
He is proactive.
That is a joke I never noticed when I was a kid.
The paradigms he shifts?
The paradigm shiftings, and he's proactive. That was good. This one is just like, oh, we've had so many episodes and you're not paying attention to us anymore, and it's just how TV is, and it's just so hits you over the head with it.
It felt whiny.
Yeah. Well,
I felt like the Simpsons creators were whining at me.
It felt very didactic, if you will.
Yeah, see, that it was the joke was Steph is quoting one of the writers in the writer's room in the Poochie episode. If, like, I got that joke because I am nerdy enough to just research cartoon shows and know they all have writer's room filled with obnoxious Harvard grads and other Ivy League types. So I got the joke, but it was so meta and self-involved that I didn't really think it was very funny.
Roy doesn't bring anything to the picture, honestly.
But, which well, is that's the point of Roy, which I appreciated.
I wanted something funny to happen with Roy.
I think Roy's lack of context worked. His lack of purpose worked enough for me.
But to the Simpsons' credit, like the suckiness of this episode, and I think that they were probably okay with it sucking. Like they were, but I mean, Poochie saves the whole thing. I don't know. I have a lot of conflicting feelings.
I did some research. I checked to make sure that it wasn't just our own personal experience with the episode that made us put it up so high on a Simpsons list. Vanity Fair said 6th of all time.
What?
Yeah,
that's absurd. Everybody
Entertainment Weekly on a list of 25 made it 23.
Wow.
So, I mean, we hit the median. We didn't, like, really pull this out of our ass. People really actually like it.
That's shocking, because I can think of, like, 15 episodes off the top of my head that were better than this one.
Well, that's good, because we have 14 more, so you only missed one.
I mean, other than the ones I know that are coming up. Like, out of the ones we... Yeah. But what I think works about it is, like, this is something that obviously TV has been doing for a long time. You know, the show gets stale, they bring on a new episode. You got that weird cousin on the... Yeah, you got that weird new character. You got that weird cousin on the Brady Bunch. You've got Joni and Chachi on Happy Days. I mean, like, this just goes on forever, but nobody ever like made a good joke about it, even though we were all aware it's been happening.
Yeah, I think that part worked better in the 90s.
Exactly.
When we all lived and breathed these sitcoms.
Exactly.
That we grew up with and our parents' generation grew up with. So we'd seen all these shark jumpings happen.
Yes.
So in the moment, maybe it did work.
And it was also they saved themselves from a shark jump.
But I kind of felt like it was a shark jump.
I don't know. I don't think so. I think it's doing the good subverting, referential nonsense that like The Simpsons did before anybody else did it.
Which I give them credence of in the moment in 1998, 97, whenever this came out. Yeah. Nobody's doing it, but in 2016, it just feels like this sort of meta, oh, this is just for us writers to like kind of make fun of our audience and make fun of our bosses and be really inside and snarky.
Yeah.
And it didn't age well for me.
I don't know. I really like those jokes about the people using the big words.
I did too. Don't get me wrong. I don't think the words were big enough and vague enough to get the point across for my experience with big, vague words working in the nonprofit world.
Man.
Oh, God, I wish I even thought about making a list to share of, you know, disruptive. Everything's disruptive now. God, what's another good
one? Remember when everything was Occupy? That's a little different. We're gonna occupy new spaces.
Spaces.
Spaces. That's so
cultivating spaces.
That's so normal now that I'm just like, yeah, spaces.
People cultivate things. Things are spaces now.
We love teen spaces and maker spaces. Libraries love spaces.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely...
I'm going to go to Star Gaming Space.
Star Game Space. But they didn't, like, tie that into the everyman world enough. They kept it very inside, like, writer's world in the episode. And I just felt boxed out of the jokes.
Who was that guy with the long hair? I recognized him.
The
writer with the long hair and the bucket hat.
I don't know. I just assumed he was a parody of like a young writer right out of college. Like, I went to a prestigious college, but I still dress like a douchey Gen X college kid.
Gen X nerds.
That was my takeaway from it. When he had the fisherman's hat.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's just like a fish fan who went to Ivy League. So now he writes for a cartoon. Just like
somebody.
So that's all I could think of with that character. I do want to give credit where credit's due, though.
And
there's some good kids being kids stuff in this episode.
Oh my.
Which happened early.
That's true. So it was like, mainly in the ratings room.
Yeah, right? I thought I was in. Right off the bat, they get it when the man comes out at the store up to Bart and Lisa and it just says something along the lines of, hey, kids, you just want to come with me? And they go, okay. He's a total stranger. And then it turns out they're doing a focus group.
Yeah.
So the whole focus group scene, I thought was pretty solid.
Yeah. That was a good scene.
Nelson picks on Milhouse, makes him look gay because he keeps liking the Speedo Man. Classic 90s making fun of people for being gay joke.
Yeah.
Probably would solicit a blog about being problematic in 2016.
Yeah.
Because let Milhouse be Milhouse.
Yeah. I mean, the point is, though, also, like, the Speedo guy's lame.
Yeah.
I guess it was a gay joke, yeah.
It was definitely a gay joke.
That's too bad.
That was when I was able to just take in the context of the time and go, that's pretty funny. He's making fun of him in a funny way. Lisa kind of not being smart enough to understand the two-way mirror. I like how Lisa can be as dumb or as smart as they need her to be.
Yeah, I'd like that too. That's something that I think works with that character so well.
It was a moment where you go, she's probably smart enough to know what that is. But then they're like, well, she's so innocent. We can have her buy this, you know, hilarious story about how it's a wall that sneezes or something.
She is a second grader.
Yeah, sometimes Lisa's a second grader. Gotta remember that.
Some good Ralph. There's some really good Ralph moments in there. Eating buttons.
That felt like Ralph caricaturing Ralph, though.
Yeah, it did. But then there was a part where he got scared and he turned the button to the rat.
That was good. That made up for it. I think that was probably my biggest laugh out loud moment.
Mine was the 10% Ross said just because that's Jack.
So let's go to the Itchy and Poochy and Scratchy show. The Beagle has landed. The first episode featuring Poochy of Itchy and Scratchy.
Ever.
Now we're talking about, now we're doing a podcast episode about an episode of a TV show and an episode of a TV show inside of that.
This is all, it's always good stuff when you got an episode inside an episode, play within a play. It's the highest level.
Gotta say, the pun of the Beagle has landed works better than the pun, which isn't really a pun, of the second episode of Futurama, which is titled The Series Has Landed.
Hmm.
Is that still a pun? Is that based on something? The Series Has Landed?
I don't know what that means. The Beagle was the name of Darwin's boat, right?
Oh, it's The Eagle Has Landed.
Oh. I was thinking the Beagle is Darwin's ship. Well,
that's good. That's some, they got their money out of those Harvard writers.
Yeah.
I just enjoyed the pun of it.
Puns are pun.
But anyway, so Poochy comes in. What 90s tropes did he hit? He says, not. What else did we get from Poochy?
I don't even know.
We got a good rap.
Oh,
my name's Poochy, and I'm here to say something, you know.
He rapped so hard.
Poochy got bars. Poochy got mass bars.
Outrageous dude.
What character would you be on Itchy and Scratchy? How would you like to come in?
You mean not as Poochy?
You can't be Poochy. Poochy's done.
What if I'm Poochy's girlfriend?
What is Poochy's girlfriend and what's her name?
Poochy's girlfriend is probably a really feminine dog, like
A Labradoodle, Cocker Spaniel.
Or how about a really masculine dog that's feminine, like a pit bull?
Okay.
But she's like super feminine. And her name is Poocherific. Poocha Princess.
Poochini. Poochini, easily.
Yeah.
Which was a cartoon series in the 90s. That was one of those Saturday morning cartoon shows that came on like before 7 a.m.
What? What was it?
Poochini.
This sounds terrible.
I think he was a dog. That was a composer, because his name is a play on a composer name.
Is it a Christian cartoon? Remember when you got up too early and there'd be Christian cartoons on?
No, oof. I wouldn't get up that early. I would get up just in time
to see.
That might
have been Sundays.
The Mega Man anime that only played at like 6:30 a.m. on Saturdays. And that was fucking dope.
That sounds awesome. I never saw that.
Dude, there was an episode where Mega Man X came from the future. That was a great series of that. But the problem is he was constantly fighting and refighting Cutman and Gutsman.
Always with the Gutsman. It's always Gutsman.
Gutsman, what the hell is that, first of all?
I always thought it meant like...
There's no defining feature of Gutsman.
I thought, well, because in the 90s you also had Guts the TV show... I thought, like, Gutsman was, like, he's got guts. Like, he's really strong and tough and, like, not scared of anything. But, like, there weren't, like, any, like, physical guts. Like, there wasn't any, like, large intestines being thrown.
That would have been dope.
Been gross.
But he was always fighting Harold Gutsman and Ronald Cutsman. And never... By the time this show was on, we had Mega Man 3... Mega Man 4, Mega Man 5, 6, maybe even 7. We even had Springman at that point. Bobby Springman. Who could forget him?
Are those their first names, or are you making those up?
These are quantifiable Mega Man canon first names, trust me.
Really?
Trust me, absolutely. Jerry Toadman?
Jesus, how do you know that?
I'm so glad you're buying this right now.
Oh, you're joking. Okay, never mind. Never mind, I didn't buy any of that.
My favorite is Hero Geminiman.
Hero.
Hero Geminiman.
Gemini Man. I can't say Gemini Man.
And what exactly was Gemini Man supposed
Shouldn't
to be?
Shouldn't he be twins or something?
What? Yeah, what exactly is
Constellation?
He was like these like crystally. He looked like he looked like an iceberg.
This show gets weird when Jack's not here.
Well, Hero Gemini Man looked like an iceberg and fired laser beams that bounced in a perfect triangle around his little boss lair.
Ah, oh, God, I want to play Mega Man 2.
anyway, my favorite one. So you can be Puccini, even though that's already a cartoon show.
I
want to
be Pooch Princess.
Pooch Prince, fine. If you wanna play into
the Poochavrensis, but I'm a pit bull.
Okay. I was gonna say, if you wanna play into Big Princess, to the corporate princess machine, that's your prerogative.
Why
that's,
not? It's only
that's your paradigm.
Only people under the age of 5 give a crap about princesses.
I'm gonna continue to try to shift that paradigm. If you wanna proactively engage in it,
mm-hmm.
I will paradoxically paradigm it.
What?
Just saying.
Okay, so what are you gonna? Who are you gonna be in the Poochie episode?
Can I play a character that already not exists in the Simpsons world?
Well, you're gonna be Bender? Because I feel like,
you know what a great addition to the Itchy and Scratchy show would be?
What's that?
Itchy and Scratchy and Hero Geminiman.
You just like to say Geminiman.
Hey guys, I'm Hero Geminiman. I'm here to shoot laser beams that will bounce in triangles all around Itchy and Scratchy's fireworks factory visit. It's going to be crazy. If one of these laser beams forms an equilateral triangle in line with one of these fireworks bins, all shit's going to break loose.
I would like it if they just bounce around till the end of the episode, like that thing that they watch on The Office bouncing and never really gets to the corner. Like, you know, the screensaver on The Office where the little box moves. Like, that's when Itchy going to be.
And Scratchy and Hero Geminiman reaches season 8, episode 14 itself. And they run out of ideas.
Oh, gosh.
I'm going to do a lot of Geminiman research for this episode to share with the world so everybody's caught up by the time this comes out.
That's good.
Because I don't know how deep we've got into the Mega Man universe that people can follow, but I just, since I never got to see him on the Mega Man cartoon show, I really want Hero Geminiman to be in Itchy and Scratchy. And that's who I would play. I will be his voiceover.
I think you're more of a squirrel, though.
A squirrel?
He doesn't want to be a squirrel. Look how mad he is.
I don't want to be a squirrel. I want to shoot laser beams that bounce indefinitely in an equilateral
more like Moose and the Squirrel.
Hero Geminiman never got his debut in Mega Man because they probably stopped production and were just playing reruns for me at that time. I want him to have his moment.
For you alone. Fair enough. At least it wasn't one of those weird Christian puppets that came on Sunday morning. Remember, why do they always have puppets?
Cheaper than animation, I'm guessing.
Probably.
Last thing I want to know. Okay, this kind of speaks to my other gripe with this episode. They so badly, I think, wanted to do this kind of inside thing where it's them poking fun at all the stuff they don't like about their dream job that they get to do making television.
You're so bitter.
I'm so mad about this episode.
Really? I mean...
But I feel like a story got such an oversight that, like, why does Homer even have a dog in this fight to get this job as Poochie and then keep it.
I know. That's the thing that was bugging me, too. When he was getting upset about keeping it, I was like, wait, you didn't even
want it. You didn't want it in the first place.
You didn't even, you thought you were upset that you had a funny voice, and now you're upset. I mean, like, that's pretty typical Homer. But, like, if that was my friend, I'd be like, oh, my God, shut up. Poochie sucks. You suck. You suck at this. Just stop.
I had no investment in anybody or anything going on in the episode. I know it's a cartoon, and I know it's an episode of The Simpsons.
Are you serious? I had... But,
what?
I love Poochie.
That's fine. You can enjoy the concept of Poochie.
I just want Vacation Jack all the time.
I'm just trying to look at this objectively as somebody who's not married to Poochie.
Okay, well, listen. What I like about Poochie is he's a fun-loving guy. He's unpredictable. I think what I don't like, I mean, the joke with the cartoon side at the end where he goes off to space and they, like, just pull the slide. I liked Homer's speech. I wanted them to kill Poochie after Homer gave the speech. When he gave his Poochie speech about how he just wanted to be Poochie. Forever. But,
and that was great. And I enjoyed it. I just wasn't sold that he really wanted to be Poochie. The thing I think that detracts the most from Homer being Poochie, I don't know if they felt like they had to do this because they thought the audience would question it, but Otto is the first person who auditions for Poochie. And from then on, you're just like, of course Otto would be Poochie.
This is true. Well, he's a little,
and it just
staled
the whole
stoned.
Thing for me.
Poochie's got some energy. Otto's a little
Otto's
too,
like 30-40% Rastafari.
Yeah, no, exactly. It's too much. Poochie has some
enough.
Energy. At some point, I have a question. Like, after the episode goes away, or like after the episode airs, they're at the comic store bookstore talking to comics bookstore guy. And they raise the philosophical question, like, you watch the show for free every week. Like, what, like, why does it owe you anything? He's like, well, it's my right to write nerdy things all over the internet and hack and, like, whatever. What does the show owe you?
That made me hate both parties in that situation.
No, I did too. I was like, oh my God, you're like beating it home that a show owes you nothing because it's for free. A, shows aren't free.
They cost my time. They cost my whatever.
My sweet advertising dollars.
Yeah. All my money I give to the Disney Corporation so I can watch Star Wars anytime I want.
I mean, exactly. I think shows owe me more than what they're giving me, basically. I'm a good viewer. I make podcasts about shows.
That's true. I don't think, well, except that we're stealing our access to the show and not paying for it.
Shh, nobody needs it. Look, my parents pay good money.
Yeah, somebody is paying for our viewership. It's cool. I just, the whole thing just felt, made me feel icky. Like, here's the thing. I definitely appreciate, okay, so I definitely appreciate a show that is, you've got a team of writers that I hope care and do the best job they can, and actors and a team and a crew, they're all trying to do the best they can to make a good show, and if the audience hates it, that kind of stinks for them. Yeah, I'm sure. And I appreciate that people still work really hard to create that in this world where, you know, any preteen brat can go on YouTube and just make noises and get attention and get money without thinking twice about what they're doing. I still have a deep appreciation for that. But people could say whatever they want about it, because at the end of the day, if you weren't living your dream job to create those shows, then it wouldn't be so goddamn competitive to be in that field doing it.
I'm going to poke a big hole in this. Well, not your argument, but their argument. And I wonder if they did this on purpose, but all the writers were, you know, young white males. And it's like, you know what might help your show? Not having a white man in your writing room. Having somebody of a different race or gender or socioeconomic or age or something.
Yeah, I mean...
I mean, I know it's a joke and they're like, this is what writer's rooms look like these bros. That's what it is. I thought it was funny, though, that they, like they drew the characters like that. They chose to draw them like that.
I think they were based on actual writers that they had on the team at the time.
Yeah.
At least one or two of them was. How many people did they have? Three, four?
But minus that network executive, there was, like, four or five. Guess what? Poochie's here.
Oh, now that Poochie's here, maybe that's a good time to wrap up. Call it a day on the Itchy and Scratchy and Poochie show. We don't want Poochie to come ruin our podcast. So don't want to introduce a new character at the last minute. We should probably wrap up there.
That's a good point.
So I personally, probably at this point in my life, as we're talking about reflecting on shows as an adult, and taking them a little more objectively, could probably live with this off the 50 list. But at the same time, looking at it through nostalgia, I can keep it on there, just maybe not so high.
I don't know. I mean, like, I don't, it's not that I feel nostalgic for it. It's that it's a funny point that in that time period, before like the internet blew up and we have all types of shows now, a way to save a show was to bring another character on. That's funny.
Yeah. And okay.
And Poochie's hilarious.
When I say nostalgia, I think I mean more context of its time. Funny for its time.
Okay, okay. So you're saying like from, okay. I think that's
don't
so
think it
relevant
aged
though.
Super well, I said earlier. Some relevancy,
okay, you don't
a lot
think
of
it
aged
well.
Age well.
Fair enough. Well, I would put it back to like number 30.
Okay. I will meet you there in the middle.
Maybe 45.
And that's cool. So we're going to wrap this up.
Yeah.
Got to thank our parents for letting us mooch off their FX Now accounts or their whatever cable accounts. Always got to thank the Sidekicks for the song DMT off Awkward Breeds. Plays at the top of the episode. They the jam. Anything else we need to hit? Oh, I got to thank the Disney Corporation for creating the Star Wars juggernaut that is The Force Awakens. So that
big up
I can
Stephen
give them...
Hawking. Big up Stephen Hawking.
I was just really feeling like I didn't have any reason to give the Disney Corporation any money at my age. So I'm glad they bought that up so that they could suck money out of 30-year-old men along with 5-year-old girls. Great job, Disney. That's all
you're
I got.
You're so mad at Disney.
They let J.J. Abrams make a great Star Wars movie. How mad could I really be?
They don't mess stuff up. You got Pixar, you got J.J. Abrams. Like, you can't be too upset.
I will cite, do they mess stuff up? I will cite the good dogs. Thank you. Good job. That was... I said good job.
Everybody think?